You're listening to an OTB AM podcast. You can watch the show or listen live every weekday morning from 7:45 AM. Subscribe to the OTB AM podcast stream for more stuff just like this.
So the editor of Bloody Elbow, Karim Zidane, joins us on the line. Good morning to you, Karim. How are things?
Well, everything is great here. How are things with you guys?
Very well. So we've wanted to speak to you for a couple of weeks now, ever since the first press conference before UFC 229, when Conor McGregor and Khabib Nurmagomedov went toe-to-toe via the microphone. And I guess a lot of people realised at the time that there was a lot of darker undertones to that very press conference. But you've written a number of pieces, you've done a lot of great work on why those dark undertones might have spilled into something more serious. And lo and behold, Saturday night they did. So without justifying what Khabib Nurmagomedov did by hopping out of the octagon, do you want to just give us a general overview of why he was so angry, of why what McGregor and his camp said to him really affected him?
Well, I'm glad you started by saying that I wouldn't be justifying Nurmagomedov, because I really want to emphasize that I in no way condone or legitimize in any way or shape or form what Khabib did by jumping out of the octagon. It was a horrible act in terms of a look on the sport, etc. But honestly, it comes down to the fact that McGregor, through his promotional tactics, let's say, and all these different darker undertones that you mentioned during the press conference, the initial press conference particularly, he stoked ethnic and religious tensions. And you know, sometimes with things like this, and I mean, when we reference this, he talked about relations between Chechnya and Dagestan, and Khabib Nurmagomedov is from Dagestan, and he has training partners from Chechnya. This is something that Conor McGregor did to sort of get into Khabib Nurmagomedov's mind. But when you think about it like that, that's something that a Western audience understands when it comes to the fight game. But someone like Khabib Nurmagomedov, from the region that he's from, being the North Caucasus region of Russia, where the regional cultures within the North Caucasus, particularly, they have a deep traditions of family honor and patriarchy and respect for the elders. And Khabib takes that stuff very seriously. So when you start speaking about religion, and you call his father a coward, and you make reference to Ramzan Kadyrov and how his father is sort of linked to Ramzan Kadyrov and how he's linked to Ramzan Kadyrov, and that's the Chechen dictator, you aggravate not only Khabib Nurmagomedov himself at the time, but you shed light on all sorts of very dark matters that could cause harm to him or his family back home. So it became a very, very personal matter for Khabib. And it was very clear on Saturday night, not just from the way he performed, but the way he acted between rounds, not very typical of Khabib at all. And then, of course, immediately after the fight, spilling out. And if you notice, it wasn't just Khabib who was furious with McGregor. Zubair Tukhugov, who's also a fellow UFC fighter, was involved in the brawl and attempted to come after Conor McGregor, and he later went on social media and bragged about it. Now, Zubair Tukhugov is a Chechen, for instance, who trains with Khabib. So it's clear that McGregor's words, and again, I'm not saying that this in any way is an excuse for Khabib and what he did, but it's clear that all these different things that McGregor referenced, from the Chechen-Dagestani relations to the comments about religion to the comments about his father, it clearly took things too far. And when it comes to fighters from the North Caucasus, you really do not want to take it that far with them.
And just to go back a step there, what do we actually know about the links between Kadyrov and Khabib and his family?
Well, we know, especially it started a few years ago, really, when Khabib really made a name for himself in the UFC and Ramzan Kadyrov started his MMA promotion and fight club. He invited Khabib Nurmagomedov, this is around 2016, he invited Khabib over to his fight club in Grozny, the capital of Chechnya, to host a seminar of sorts. So Khabib basically came, hosted a seminar, spent a day in Chechnya, and attended one of Ramzan Kadyrov's MMA events. And left the next day. He did a few appearances for Chechen state television, and that was about it. And I believe he did a second appearance after that. But that's sort of the end of their actual association together. There's not much more that links them. And when it comes to Khabib, I think it's important to stress as well, is that when you're someone who's from the North Caucasus, a region like Dagestan, which is very, it's a few hours' drive away from Grozny. basically. So he's very, very close to the area where Ramzan's in. It's very difficult to say no to someone like Kadyrov. Again, this is not condoning Khabib's association with Ramzan Kadyrov, but it's putting it in perspective here. So again, this leads us back to McGregor's comment about Khabib's father being a coward. Again, this all leads to the sort of association with the fact that it's very difficult to separate anybody or any athlete or any sort of notable figure in the Caucasus region from Ramzan Kadyrov. If he tries to summon you or if he invites you, consider it a summons, basically. Consider that you're doing this because you don't have much other choice.
And say as a promotional lead up to the fight continued, and you had stuff like the UFC promo, the Bad Blood promo, which was talking about kind of winds of war blowing from the Caucasus to the west of Ireland. As someone who's kind of a bit more educated about the background to all this, how worried were you starting to get when you started to see these pieces going out?
Personally, I was not very impressed with the UFC, and this is a great point that I want to touch on now, is that it's very clear that the UFC was sort of encouraging this through its different promos, through the Bad Blood promos, through the promotional videos showcasing the bus incident as well. It was very clear that they were very happy and almost gleeful to play along with these promotional tactics that were implemented. And when you play with fire, this is the end result. And I'm not saying that the UFC is necessarily going to suffer from this brawl that took place at UFC 229, but at the same time, when you think about it, if this is going to be one of the biggest selling pay-per-views, then a lot more people were watching this than the average UFC pay-per-view event, and this just so happened to be how the night ended. So I'm not very impressed with the way the UFC handled the event leading up to it in terms of the promotion, and I'm not impressed with how they've deflected responsibility post-event either.
Yeah, like if you take that all into account, I don't think many of us would have been impressed with that. But if we kind of go back to some of the words that were used in the build-up to the fight that were used to promote this fight, I'm talking about the press conferences here. If we're not impressed by this, imagine what the people in Dagestan are thinking of this. Of course, we saw Khabib's angry reaction to this time and time again. But we saw this outpouring of joy in Dagestan on Saturday night when Khabib had won that fight. What do you think it means to those people to see a person like Conor McGregor beaten after he said some of the things that he said? Do you feel that there was sort of this outpouring of emotion almost directly because McGregor was being beaten, not just because one of their national heroes had won?
Oh, I think if anything, it really added to the Khabib's popularity, and it gave a lot of people who might not necessarily have been invested in the fights or invested in Khabib a reason to be invested. You gave them a sort of a national interest, a reason to unite behind a single individual, and that individual was Khabib. When you, after the brawl, I was really concerned as to how he would be received in Russia. Well, I immediately found the answer out when he arrived and was led to a stadium, a football arena, packed with 10,000 to 20,000 fans just there to see him. There was no football match being played. Mm. They were just there to see him. And you could tell from his approach in his speech that he wasn't apologetic at all. He didn't apologize for his actions. He didn't even seem remorseful in the slightest. What he actually said is, "You can't contain an eagle in the cage." So that goes to show you how he felt about the situation and how he knows his own people were going to react to him doing something like this. If you see the comments online, it's very funny. This fight has created this sort of schism between Khabib's fans and McGregor's fans. And on Khabib's side, they're all talking about how he has defended his family honor. He has defended Islam. So this has become a big topic. If you see, like, it's gone beyond just a simple fight. So when people like Dana White keep calling this the fight game, well, other people are talking about defending family honor and defending Islam and good versus evil and all this ridiculousness, in my opinion. Like, it gets on this large scale that's so unnecessary. And Khabib symbolizes all that in Dagestan, because a lot of people were really behind him, specifically after all those comments that were made about his people and his religion, etc.
Will you talk about family honor there, Kareem? If you wouldn't mind, could you go into a small bit more detail about this family honor, about his father? You wrote an excellent long-form article for Bloody Elbow about the Dagestani dynasty, I think is what you called it. Just talk to us a little bit about how his father created this this beast that is Khabib Nurmagomedov, and how that represents the honor of that family.
Well, I first heard about Abdulmanap Nurmagomedov, Naz Khabib's father, when I used to do commentary work for M1 Global in Russia back in 2015. And I got to meet him once or twice, and he was quite a soft-spoken, modest human being. But every time I'd interact with fighters, etc., they'd tell me about what a spectacular coach this man is. So I thought I had to get to know him a little more. So I interviewed him, and it turned out he had this phenomenal background that very few people were talking about. Which, I mean, this is a celebrated athlete in his own right who grew up as a world champion in combat sambo to becoming a hardened coach. I mean, who had to deal with raising his children and surviving with his family during the Chechen Wars, which the second Chechen War spilled over into Dagestan. So he dedicated a vast majority of his life to fighting Islamic insurgency, not in the traditional way, but by creating a sports environment for disenfranchised youth to be able to participate in sports as an alternative to Islamic violence and so that sort of militant Islamic insurgency, which unfortunately is commonplace in Dagestan. So his father took on quite a very interesting role in life. And when Khabib was born, Abdulmanap Nurmagomedov had actually turned his house into a gym of sorts. And in the basement, he was training 15 other young boys at the time. So Khabib basically grew up on the wrestling mat. That's the quote his father uses, is that Khabib learned to walk on a wrestling mat. So their connection, the connection between the two of them is extremely strong. And Dagestan is a very patriarchal society. The youngest son lives with the father and lives with the parents until the parents pass away. That is Khabib. So Khabib, to this day, despite being married and despite having his own children, still lives with his father. And his father is sort of the elder of the family. Again, this not only just leads back to family honor, it's also a matter of respecting your elders, because in places like Dagestan, there's a hierarchy of authority. And the hierarchy of authority is via age. So respect to elders is not just the standard respect we think of in Western culture. They have the absolute authority over your decision-making as well. So, I mean, to put it in a different way, Khabib's dad is not only his dad or his coach, he's also his mentor and an authority figure in his life. So when you hear his father say things like, I'm going to punish Khabib worse than the UFC or the Nevada State Athletic Commission is going to punish him, well, I take a statement like that very seriously. I mean, even Vladimir Putin today, I mean, the Russian president met with Khabib today. He even made a point of telling Abdulmanap Nurmagomedov, you know what, maybe don't go so hard on your son.
Yeah, we'll get to Putin in just one moment. Just one final point on the family, and in terms of the Nurmagomedov business, the family business, I guess is how you can put it, is this idea that when Conor McGregor stoked ethnic and religious tensions, it was the fact that he was stoking that in the first place which is what created this outpouring of anger. Because ultimately what you talk about there, about his father's work in terms of training athletes against in insurgents, and I guess when Khabib met with Kadyrov, those were acts of trying to avoid any further retribution or avoid any further violence. These were, I don't want to say acts of peace, but they were sort of acts of trying to keep the status quo to a certain extent, that when they've been told that they are trying to actually stir the pot in this part of the world, that's a deeply, deeply insulting thing to somebody like the Nurmagomedov family.
Well, it absolutely is. And I mean, again, all I can do is speculate as to why Khabib actually interacted with Kadyrov to the extent of the association, whether he wants to, whether he likes Kadyrov. I cannot know. All I can do is speculate on the matter. But I have to guess that based on the relations between Chechnya and Dagestan, just how powerful Ramzan Kadyrov is a figure in the North Caucasus. I mean, his influence extends past Chechnya and into Dagestan. He can cause trouble for a lot of people. If I was someone who lived in the region, I'd want as little trouble as possible, especially if I'm as notable as a human being or a celebrity or an athlete as Khabib Nurmagomedov is. So it makes perfect sense that you want to sort of maintain the peace, as you say, as much as possible. So what McGregor did awoken all these different memories and all these different ideas and shed light and put a spotlight on Khabib, his father, and Kadyrov. So it's for a variety of reasons that they're mad at McGregor, because he shed light on things that are supposed to be unspoken or not discussed or not talked about, at least not in public. These are things that Khabib would never have considered using as part of a fight promotion. I mean, that might have been naive on his part, and at the end of the day, something, if the UFC plans to continue doing stuff like this, continue using these methods for fight promotion and basically not holding any of these fighters accountable for the things they say, they, as well as Western fans, are going to have to get used to seeing things like this and seeing fighters from different regions in the world reacting in different ways. Not to condone their actions, but people from around the world react very differently, and they hold different standards for themselves. Someone like Zubera Tukhugov, if he gets fired from the UFC for his actions during the brawl, the Chechen fighter who was in Khabib's corner, do you think he's going to be upset about it? Most people would consider it an honor because they defended their honor and they stood up for what they said they were going to do. So again, you're talking about very different people who understand things. They see things from a very different lens than most of us do.
And Kareem, during your interview after the first press conference on the MMA era, you mentioned briefly kind of links or an arrangement between John Kavanagh and some SBG fighters and a promotion in Bahrain. Just wondering how much you know about that.
Well, it actually goes back to 2015 when Brave FC started. It was a project by Sheikh Khalid bin Hamad Al Khalifa, who's one of the sons and a prince in Bahrain, one of the sons of King Hamad bin Al Khalifa. So it was, again, another one of those, an authoritarian regime that decided it wanted a MMA gym as a hobby. I mean, this seems to be something we're seeing a trend of. It's not just Kadyrov. And again, not to compare Kadyrov and his regime to Bahrain, they're not similar in the slightest. But there's a very interesting trend of politicians sort of gravitating towards mixed martial arts. And this is another example of that. So during the initial phase of KHK and the Brave FC, they invited a lot of different figures, a lot of different notable figures in the world of MMA, including some journalists actually for the first event and to sort of see the gym. And one of the people who participated was John Kavanagh, Khabib Nurmagomedov was another one, Frankie Edgar was also involved. So it was a variety of people. I think James Gallagher was also involved. There was quite a few people who came. So there were people from SBG and John Kavanagh, and there was also people who were linked to Ali Abdulaziz and Khabib Nurmagomedov's team. So, funnily enough, when we look back in hindsight in 2015, and you see how much peace there seemed to have been between Khabib and the Irish, it's interesting to look at 2018 and see what it's like now.
Yeah, it certainly is. Like that's a very interesting development. Are we expecting more of John Kavanagh? Like you mentioned Edgar, you mentioned Khabib. Are we expecting more top level UFC involvement in that part of the world? Like you mentioned, the political will of leaders in the Middle East at the moment, is this the start of it? I guess is what I'm trying to ask, rather than just a one off incident.
Oh no, I don't think John Kavanagh is in any way affiliated with Brave FC or KHK MMA in the Bahrain regime at all at this point. I'm not quite sure how long that relationship lasted between them, but I'm almost certain that there's not many SBG fighters associated with them anymore. And same with Khabib Nurmagomedov, actually. If I'm not mistaken, the only UFC fighter who's still quite associated with them is Frankie Edgar, who has done commentary for Brave FC events recently. The promotion has actually taken an interesting turn where they're focusing a lot more on the Arabic scene and signing Arab fighters and sort of distancing themselves from the UFC. So that's an interesting approach in comparison to Kadyrov and his team and how they're trying to filter more of their own fighters into the UFC. They have about 5 fighters in the UFC at the moment. So again, just like you mentioned, it's an ongoing trend where we're seeing these different dictators sort of entertain fighters and the idea of hosting MMA promotions and MMA events. And it's always done for the intent of sports diplomacy or to enhance their political agenda somehow or cement their authority. Again, it depends on the regime. But with Ramzan Kadyrov's case, it's a great way to enhance his cult of personality. I mean, you take a violent combat sport, because at the end of the day, that's what it is, and you take a masculine society like Chechnya, and then you combine the two of them, and you have Ramzan Kadyrov as the figurehead, and then, well, he's the leader of this hyper-masculine society that comes out as a result.
Yeah.
So I know it sounds a little complicated when it's said like that, but it really is the final intent of a lot of these politicians with the sport.
Yeah, it's very, very interesting. There's almost a separate piece in terms of the political power of mixed martial arts alone, and maybe that's a conversation for another day, Kareem. Just finally, before I let you go, like as I said at the top of the piece here, if anybody read your articles after the first press conference when they were being recirculated again, you might have been able to make an educated guess that there might have been a little bit of trouble at UFC 229. In terms of what you've seen after 229, in terms of what you've seen over the last couple of days, what do you think is going to happen next? I'd assume that if you were advising the UFC, you're not advising them for a Conor McGregor, Khabib Nurmagomedov rematch.
I would be very naive if I would flat out say that I do not expect a rematch to happen at all, though that's the unfortunate part. I expect a rematch to happen somewhere down the line. If I would have to give more realistic advice, given that note, the realistic advice will be hold off on it as long as you possibly can. A minimum of 6 months. Allow tensions to calm down and try and ensure that this sort of promotional tactic is unnecessary the next time around. If your fighters do things that are considered illegal or could put civilians in jeopardy, and now both Khabib and McGregor have done this, because that brawl could have spilled out into the fans and could have been a lot worse than it was. I mean, we're extremely lucky that it did not get worse than it was. So Khabib could have been responsible for a lot more than he was that night. And then McGregor with the Dolly incident, and way more people could have been injured that day as well. So if the UFC does not hold more people accountable for their actions and also try and not use religious content and ethnic sort of conflicts and promote it so gleefully, well, if you're going to continue to behave in this manner, then it's very important that you realize that you're going to have to take as much time as you possibly can to allow these things to cool off before you in any way try and host a rematch between these two fighters. I highly recommend taking some time.
Yeah, I think that's pretty good advice. Kareem Zidane, Bloody Elbow editor, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us this morning.
It was a pleasure. Thank you.
So if you like this, you'll probably also like OTB AM, Ireland's only sports breakfast show. Subscribe to the OTB AM podcast stream or catch the show live on YouTube, Twitter, Facebook or offtheball.com every morning from 7:45 a.m.